Good morning. Today is Friday. Good Friday to everybody. Joining us this morning is Humble Bay Fire Chief, Mr. Gillespie.
Good morning, Brian.
How has the week gone for, do we say HBFD?
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like a big city, doesn't it?
Right,
HBFD,
right.
HBFD, yeah.
You know, call-wise, it's been okay.
Good. How about medical aid?
Those always happen. With us, with the call volumes that we keep seeing, you know, we're between 6,300 and 6,500 calls a year. This last year was 6,330. That's over 17 calls a day, each and every day. That's those sirens you keep hearing back and forth.
Yeah. That's
keeps us going.
Here's an interesting quote from Tom Waits. I always saw better when my eyes were closed. Boy, doesn't that one have a couple of different layers to
it, huh? Retrospect there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't wish to be boss until you... With the medical aids that you guys get, what percentage are legal versus illegal?
As far as activities,
the triggering event.
You know, we run a lot of legitimate. You know, the majority are legitimate, but it depends on where the population was. We do see a lot that come out of the homeless population, and some of those, you know, maybe they're in a location where it's been tied to illicit drugs. We do see quite a few drug overdoses in our community, the big drug being heroin. And so as sad as it is, you can almost tell when a new load comes in, because all of a sudden you're running 2, 3, 4 drug overdoses in the course of a day or two.
Right. That's been tried and true over the decades.
Yeah.
My question was with... So many times when you're running your half a fire truck out and the ambulances are responding and all that kind of stuff, prescription overdoses, unintentional.
Right.
Prescription overdose, intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Regular medical stuff. And then how much is the drug culture causing additional workload, so to speak?
You know, it's kind of a blend across it, and it comes and goes. The part that we probably take note of or see the most is illegal drug side.
Because it is illegal, or because it's a larger load?
It tends to be more prominent when you're dealing with a drug aspect versus like prescription drugs from what we see.
40-60?
At times it fluctuates, but probably 40-60, you know, 35-65, somewhere in there.
Is that a norm for fire departments in non-druggy areas like ours?
It's semi-consistent. And, of course, you know, you look at our area, and we do have that druggy side, unfortunately.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill Gillespie. You ever get those splinters or whatever that seem to be invisible?
Oh, I hate those.
I got one on one of my joints.
You know it's
joints
there, and you cannot find it. But every time you bump it or or across your clothes.
Something.
It reminds you.
I don't know where I got this one a couple days ago. But right where the writing utensil crosses.
Oh, yeah. It reminds you every time you pick the pen
absolutely.
Up.
Yeah. So I'm using blood fingertips this morning.
Exactly.
Do people in the community, Bill, grasp what and how often the fire department's moving? I mean, now I know you guys are working with Arcata Fire Protection District also.
Right.
So you're kind of spreading your tentacles out a little bit so you can kind of see some things. Does the community really understand? I mean, we hear the numbers, but, you know, until you're sitting on a truck yourself, you may not really appreciate the numbers.
Right.
Do we get it?
I think it's, you know, some folks see it. The folks that live right next to the fire station hear us go out a lot. I think at times there's still that misconception out there that unless there's a fire or a rescue, that the fire department hangs out at the station, polishes the truck, and plays cards. And that might have been the 50s, but that's long since gone with the call volumes that we're running now. And we're an all-risk department, so we do the various fires, the medical calls, lift assists to help people back up when they're down or in need of care, water rescue, you know, wildland, hazmat. We do all of these different things, and it keeps us busy between training. Folks see the engines out, like in the commercial areas. Well, we've got inspection loads that we do. We go through all of the commercial businesses on an annual basis for a fire safety inspection. And it's twofold. It helps the business, but then it helps our folks too, so that if we're ever back at that business at 2 a.m. and the place is filled with smoke, okay, where was the electrical panel at, and where was this, and how do we get around in the place so we can try and search for victims or get through the place faster to be able to maybe get to the seat of the fire or the problem.
What percentage of a shift's time is spent with the lights on and the siren going?
Probably if you ran the number, and it's an interesting question. Like I mentioned earlier, on average, about 17 calls across the five stations here in the greater Eureka area. You know, you're probably between the different companies, depending on the time frame of the call. But you've probably got a couple hours per company that's tied up every day in the actual response. And then you've got a couple of more hours that's tied up in the documentation, because every run that we go on, every run that we respond to, we've got to document that for the incident reporting and incident narrative. And then we're mandated by law, our incident numbers and nature of call then goes to the state and goes to the federal government. And so that can be tracked through CFERS and NFERS. Those are the you know, acronyms for the state and the federal tracking. And so those go in essentially on a quarterly basis for submission to the government.
It's always interesting for me to see one of the rigs driving.
Mm-hmm.
Not with the lights, not with the sirens.
Right.
So you can't hear.
Right.
But there's movement going on. So is there like somebody in charge of duties? Kind of thing. You lay out a full day knowing that a percentage of that time is going to be interrupted by the unplannable.
Right. You know, each one of our crews and each one of the stations every day, we've typically, there's a captain, an engineer, a firefighter, if there's three people on at that location. And the captain they'll look at the priorities of the day. Maybe part of the day's taken up with is set aside for training. We might have training where we're bringing everybody together up by the water tower at 3030L, where our training classroom is. So they'll look at the plan of the day. Oh, okay, we've got training this morning. Then this afternoon we're going to try and get out. We're going to do this inspection block. Maybe they're downtown, or they've got a got a large hotel that they're going through and doing the residential inspections, checking the smoke alarms and the extinguishers, checking exiting. We're mandated by the state of California to do those, so those go into that inspection basis also. And so they'll set the day out, knowing at any given point, well, there went the tone, okay, we're off to a call. And then you come back and you pick back up and you keep going.
Does that take a while to get accustomed to?
It does. It takes a little while to get used to it, especially somebody coming into it that's fairly new. I can remember going through, as I worked through the years and promoted, I can remember every time you'd hear the radio crackle or the tone go off, you'd kind of, that little bit of an intake of breath. Okay, is that us? Where are we going? What are we doing? And trying to get your mind onto that next call.
Without being frustrated that you're not able to cross that thing off if you're a list guy,
yeah,
like I am.
Right.
We'll
come back to that.
Showtime. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30. We'll be back with more from Billy Gillespie.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt Bay Fire Chief Bill Gillespie. Talk shop presented by Redec and by CDH Painting. Bill, with some of the outreach that you guys do,
mm-hmm,
you know, whether it's the open houses or some of the school tours,
right,
and things like that, are there departments that you've heard of that do something similar for taxpayers?
You know, It's one you don't hear about that often. We try and do it, you know, some of it comes literally through public service announcements, plugs that we do, you know, with this station and elsewhere.
Elsewhere?
Well, you know, you got the video media too.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Kitty Station. I was going to allow that one. Okay, fine.
But, you know, the open house is a big one for us because it lets our community come in and see their fire department. We just actually did something very similar to that at the beginning of the week with some of our elected officials, and brought elected officials down to the training center on Hilficker, and the ones that were going to participate that went with some of the hands-on activities that we did. They had to come in ahead of time and get fitted for structural fire gear and face fit tested. We did take them in our burn box where we do fire control simulation. A number of them were able to do that. And then through the course of the day, of course, they kept the gear on just like we did. And that was one of the things that came out from a number of folks is, holy smokes, this stuff's heavy that you guys wear. Yes, it is. They ended up, we put them in the simulated structure fire event. They also got to put hands on the jaws of life and with vehicles. And trust me, that stuff's heavy. And then also had some various observation. And just to kind of broaden their understanding of what we do as a fire department and really, you know, like for the Board of Supervisors members that participated also, what fire departments across this county do.
All right, who participated at the suits? I got to talk to them when they come through.
Well, when they come through, you can ask Estelle and you can ask Virginia.
Okay.
Both of them were there and participated and had some big smiles on their faces, and you know, and we had members of the city council, we had members of the district and the JPA board, and it was good too because those folks got to put more names and faces together as well. But the big push of it was, here's what your fire department does. Here's just a small snapshot of the many things that we get called to for the community, for that customer service that we give our constituents and our tourists.
So you didn't do the medical simulation training?
Well, we had the extrication component, but you know, it's a little harder to get something that's hands-on unless we did a CPR station.
No, I was thinking more cuts and things along those lines.
Well, fortunately, we didn't have to do that down there either. Everybody came away. It was an injury-free day.
Perfect. How much has your guys' day-to-day been changed with some of these additional responsibilities you said that mm-hmm. earlier or indicated?
Right.
Some of the stuff you're working with Arcata Fire now.
Right.
Okay,
right.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Working with either Cal Fire or, mm-hmm. or Fortuna
right.
Fire. Yeah.
Right.
That partnering stuff that's going on, is it becoming more one department with a couple of different heads?
You know, it's still separate departments because they've still got their functions and focuses. But what we're seeing in the county especially over about the last 10 years, is departments helping each other. You know, it used to be, and there were departments across this county, across the state, but across this county that would, if they had a fire, they'd burn it to the ground before they'd call for help. And even to some degree, you know, some of my parent agency long, long ago. But we're here when a person calls 911 for an emergency, and it's potentially the worst day of the life that they're experiencing, the worst day of their life. They want somebody to get there as quickly as possible, and they don't necessarily, they're not, oh, wait a minute, that emblem isn't my fire department. I don't want them. They want help. And, you know, we call for help fairly regularly on the bigger incidents. Arcata shifts toward Eureka, or when Arcata's having a major incident, we shift toward Arcata. But then we've also got Samoa Peninsula comes in. We've got, at times, the bigger fires, El Pueblo, the ice plant. We had Arcata there. We had Samoa there. Blue Lake came down. Lolita came up. Fortuna came up. They've, since the beginning of the year, they've had their ladder truck here twice working. And we do the same for them. If they've got an incident, we go. You know, if we're tied up and we're both doing incidents, then we draw from different directions. But it's for service for our communities.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:42. We'll be back with more.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humble Bay Fire Chief Bill Gillespie. Billy, the concept of the fire in Henderson Center
mm-hmm.
that was, what was that earlier this week? Late last week.
I mean, yeah.
The last five or six.
Yeah.
Not a big one.
No.
Didn't even register
pretty,
when
pretty
we were
small,
talking
pretty
about.
Pretty quick. Yep. Yeah.
Pretty visible.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a visible event like that, where you're blocking
right.
roads, you got two or three rigs there, guys are standing all over the place, main
right.
drag
yeah,
in town.
People are doing their thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of questions come out of that. Mm-hmm. Do you get more what's going on with those than you do let's say the major right. one, like the fire over on the North Spit.
Right, right.
Much more significant, much more at risk.
Visible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you know, it's interesting because we get something in a neighborhood someplace, and if you watch the digital media, you know, the Facebooks, the things like that, immediately people start going, it's a meth lab. It's a butane lab. Is this a grow? And, you know, so often
it's a barbecue.
Yeah, yeah. It's a barbecue. And, you know, so we get a lot of questions like that. And quite often we'll go through and we'll go there. And there's a lot of them that are accidental, you know, that we see or some sort of an equipment malfunction. But folks will jump to the conclusion right off the bat. But we haven't put anything out on it yet, you know?
Does that make it more difficult to have the community trust?
You know, I think a lot of folks hold that trust with us. And that's one of the most precious resources that we have as the fire department is that community trust. I think at times it gets people thinking other directions. Oh, was it this? Was it that? When it was a barbecue, you know, or it was an outlet that caught on fire. And, you know, but it's natural to, we see a lot of things in the world and we see a lot of instant material, instant news. Folks will speculate fairly fast.
Yeah, I would think that management
mm-hmm.
of information is one of the really
it is
new areas that you guys have got to right. come into and be professional about.
Right, right. You know, and you know, we've got like Humboldt Bay Fire. We put out the press releases. We talk with the media. We've got a Facebook page out there that folks can check out. And especially if we've got something happening in an area, we try and put some information out fairly fast, at least to, hey, streets are closed here, avoid the area. We're on a fire. We've got the ability to tweet, and I don't know anything about tweeting.
Birds.
Yeah, exactly. It involves they fly in the sky.
Birds and worms. That's all I know.
But it's out there.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
it's
just like the business you're in. Try and get the information out to the community.
It's just as interesting how things evolve and change.
It is.
In everybody's biz, I guess.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by.
Absolutely.
See, no pain this morning.
Hey, sounds good. It's all good.
See everybody Monday.